I don't know about you. Have you been watching the Hallmark Channel or Lifetime, ABC Family, the 85 Days of Christmas celebration that's been going on since Labor Day? There we go. Or so it seems, right? I don't know about you. I think I came across the first Christmas movie this year in November 2nd, I think it was. And that's for those of us who haven't watched Elf every week, because it's been on Stars all year long. I don't quite know why they showed it in July or in August and September, but they have. All of those movies, by and large, have the same way of portraying tonight's events. And by that I mean what we're going to do when we get together tonight. We're going to come, the preacher's going to talk, probably a little too long, but you know, with nifty editing you can cut that out of the movie. Then we'll light candles and we'll sing Silent Night, and it'll be peaceful and comforting and beautiful. Just like that night back in Bethlehem so long ago. Because, as you know, any time you give birth to a child, the words that come to mind immediately are peaceful, easy, quiet. And that's just our modern births. And fortunately, none of us, I don't think, have to put up with what Mary and Joseph had to put up with, what the scriptures go on to tell us, which is random people from the mountainside showing up on the doorstep, having seen angels. Although, frankly, this part of the story sounds a lot more like Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol than it does the peaceful and placid depictions we usually get in those Hallmark and ABC Family movies. I mean, it says the shepherds were terrified. They think they've seen ghosts. Because let's be honest, if you were to see a bright light flashing out in the parking lot when you left here tonight, I don't think your first thought would be, oh, it must be an angel. Right? And these were hardened, gritty shepherds. Their first thought wasn't, this must be an angel. Their first thought, well, okay, their first thought was probably not polite for church. Their second thought is, what's going on? What's that? And it says they were terrified. They were beside themselves, which makes me think that the angels didn't show up peacefully. They didn't just turn around and suddenly, oh, look, there's a beautiful angel. This isn't Clarence from It's a Wonderful Life. Evidently, there must have been some sort of bright flash and big, loud, sonic boom. I don't know what an angel arrives with, but some sort of loud sound. This is not peaceful and quiet. This is not snow globe nativity. This is scary. So after the birth, which we can assume was not quiet, we get angels arriving out on a mountainside to shepherds. That's not quiet either. And then it says a whole army, an army of angels join that first terrifying angel and start singing about peace. Maybe they sounded like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, 5,000 strong. But again, doesn't sound peaceful to me. It sounds pretty noisy. And to top it off, those shepherds, having been outside all night, they trudge down the hill. They find the place, the stable where the baby lies in a manger. And those out-of-towners, Mary and Joseph. And they knock and say, hey, guess what we heard? We heard you were here. Angels came to tell us that your child was born. It says Mary keeps her mouth shut and ponders these things in her heart, which most of the time, pastors will tell you, means that she's very faithful. And she's just waiting to try and understand what God has to teach her through this. But there's a part of me that thinks Mary kept her mouth shut because she couldn't quite figure what was going on. And frankly, she wasn't exactly comfortable with these strange, smelly shepherds showing up unannounced, uninvited, shortly after she'd given birth. None of this is terribly peaceful or tranquil. None of it is, well, like that painting, or like this nativity scene, or like any of those things we see in the movies. It's messy. It's noisy. It's imperfect. So why? Why are we so desperate to see it like that? To clean it up and to quiet it down? What's wrong with all the noise? It seems to me there's lots of reasons for it, but the one I'd like to focus on tonight is that when we come to this night on the calendar, when we come again and walk to that cradle in Bethlehem, we are seeking hope. Hope for our lives, hope for the lives of everyone in the world. And hope generally doesn't come around with loud cymbal crashes. Hope doesn't usually arrive on the scene with big flashing lights. Hope whispers, doesn't it? The truest hope in our lives whispers. It's something we hear quietly, almost behind us, over our shoulders, right? Because otherwise, it's noisy and it's messy and it's chaotic and it's anything but hopeful or joyful. It's another thing to add to the to-do list. It's another place unexpectedly to set at the table. It's a spare bed or a mattress or a sleeping bag that you got to pull out of the closet for somebody who showed up that you weren't planning to see. It's reorganizing your already busy schedule to accommodate the unexpected things that have arrived, right? I mean, when I grew up on Christmas, my mother always said the same thing. You're always welcome. I don't do anything. This is my mother. She doesn't do anything on Christmas. She cooks tonight, and Christmas Day is her day off. I can remember it was the best day when I was 8 because we could eat anything we wanted. My mother didn't care. If we wanted to eat nothing but chocolate all day, we were allowed because she wasn't cooking. She said, there's the kitchen, there's the refrigerator, there's where all the cookies are, there's your stockings. Have at, leave me be. And she said, yeah, I'm giving all the kids good ideas for tomorrow. And she let this be known to all of our friends, too. You're more than welcome to come over on Christmas, but I don't do anything. You come over, and you're one of the family. You know where the kitchen is. You can go help yourself to anything we got in there. You're more than welcome, but we're not going to be in our Sunday best. You'll take what you find. But my hunch is, if people show up unexpectedly tomorrow at your door, that's not how you'll greet them. First of all, when they pull into the driveway, your first reaction will be, who's that? And then your next reaction will be, oh, that's so, why are they here? And then you'll put yourself together. You'll make sure all the kids have clothes on, pants on. If they're like my nephews, you know, please go put your pants back on. Maybe you'll make sure you have decent clothes on or aren't still in your pajamas, as some of us are wont to do on Christmas Day. And you'll put yourself together as quickly as you can and be at the door and smile when you see them, because that's what you do when somebody shows up unexpectedly after you've freaked out and after you've gone through a laundry list and after they've added to the chaos of the holidays. We're happy to see them. There's very little hope in that story, isn't there? Because we miss the hope because of all the mess and all the noise and all the running around. And in a world where there's a lot of things other than hope, There's a lot of frustration, and there's a lot of sadness, and there's a lot of destruction and brokenness. We want hope. And so tonight, we desperately want a silent and a holy night. We want peace that can whisper the hope of the ages, the hope of God, into our time, which is not peaceful. So what are we to do about this? Because it seems to me we can't just place ourselves into the Christmas story then, because the Christmas story doesn't offer us those whispering moments. The Christmas story, as I suggested earlier, is full of noise and messiness and chaos. So I'm going to be a little odd for a pastor tonight. I'm going to suggest that we leave those Bethlehemites from 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. Let's leave them there this Christmas. Instead, let's join this group, or this group, or perhaps one on your mantelpiece or your table. Let's join the perfectly formed, peaceful nativity scene, which has been cleaned up, which is a whole lot more put together and quieter than the original night some 2,000 years ago. Why do I suggest that? Because it seems to me that there's a part of us that deeply, deeply wants to know that we fit in, that we belong with the baby Jesus. There's a part deep down in us that wants to know we fit in that picture, in that set, in the set on our table. And so just like the sculptors and the painters have cleaned up the shepherds so they're not nearly so dirty and coarse and smelly and ragged as those first shepherds must have been. And just as the painters and the sculptors have cleaned up Mary and Joseph, who had traveled for days to get to Bethlehem and were after all sleeping in a stable with the animals. Instead, we get Mary in her beautiful blue shawl and her white. And instead of those wise men, we didn't talk about them, but they travel hundreds of miles, months probably, to get to see the baby. I don't know about you, but if you've been on the road for months, I don't know how you look. But we've cleaned them up too. They look all put together and all nice and clean and welcome. And so maybe for us too. Maybe one of the whispering hopes is that if God can take all of that messiness and clean it up for us and put them all together and make them all fit together, wise magi and lowly shepherds and animals and angels and the descendant of King David and his very young wife, if they all can fit together and look right together, maybe we can too. Maybe there's a place for us too. Like the little drummer boy of the song. Like a little shepherd. There's room in that picture right there, just over Mary's shoulder. There's room. There's room for you and me and others. And we can leave behind at least some of the messiness of our lives and some of the noise and the chaos and the frustration and the grief and fit in and find peace and know where our attention is supposed to be, on the one who was born this night in the city of David, a Savior. which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.